Shadow World presents Rebirth Chronicles.
Be the last one standing. Just want everyone to know and remember one thing, that you are, I am, we are.
Welcome to the Conversations with Champions talk show.
Hello, hello everyone. How are you? How are you? My name is Toshiba Dark LeBlanc, and I will be hosting Conversations with Champions. I'm very excited about this opportunity. I'm working with Rebirth Radio and Magazine, and I also have the pleasure to be online with the producer himself, Mr. Naz.
All right. I'm glad to be a part of the ride here. I mean, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here with you. You want to tell us a little bit about? I'm a little curious. I mean, you know, first of all, why the name you pick? Conversation with a Champion. Why that title?
Conversation with Champion is very dear to my heart. I'm also an author, and the author of my book is called Chronicles of a Champion. And it's really relating to all the different adversities that I had to go through as a teenager and into adulthood. And the book just helped me to come up with the name of this show, which is Conversations with Champions. I'll have different people on the show letting everyone know the obstacles that they overcome in life, but they still was a champion after overcoming.
Oh, very good. I mean, now with the book, when did you put the book out? I mean, you know, I'm just a little curious. I mean, when did you put the book out?
The book came out on my 40th birthday, July 14th of last year. But I had been working on the book for over 10 years, and I just had to I prayed on it, and God said, now is the time. So I put the book out on my 40th birthday, and it has really been a success. It has really been success.
Oh. Now, for those listening to the show, Conversation with Champion, how would they get a hold of the book? I mean, let's go there before we kind of dig in a little bit, because I'm really curious about the book and how it ties in with this podcast. You know, well, first of all, how can they get the book?
You can get the book. It's on Amazon. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. But my website is www.ToshibaYorkLeBlanc.com. You can go on the website and order the book from there.
Now, you've talked about your trials and tribulations and what you've gone through, which I guess was the foundation of why you did the book. You know, how is the book and the podcast going to correspond? You know, because it sounds like the name of the show sounds similar to the book. I mean, how are you going to tie that in?
Actually tied in by having different individuals come on the show to talk about just life in general, different things that we go through on a daily basis as far as mental abuse, physical abuse, the shame that some of us face throughout our life, and the trials and tribulations that we all go through. So letting everyone know that no matter what it is that you have been through, you can still overcome it. You can still be, at the end of the day, we are all champions.
I'm about to ask you, can you share, kind of give some of the listeners, it's just something that you've gone through?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I would share one part of my book would be called The Black Sheep of the Family. I like to touch on that. Yes, I have my five siblings. It's me. I'm the last of five. And out of all of my siblings, I'm the only one that has a different father. And I'm also the baby of the family. So just being raised in a household, you know, knowing that you have a different father than your siblings, that right there makes you feel different. It makes you feel like you know, you are the black sheep.
So even with being, you know, everybody has the same mom and different dad, I mean, you still was being treated like that?
Not really being treated like that, but that's how I felt. I've always felt like that. And when my sister, one of my sisters read the book, she was like, "We didn't make you feel like the black sheep." And I told her, I was like, "You know what? You didn't make me feel, but it still didn't stop me from feeling that way, you know?" And from day one, my mom always told me that I had a different father than my siblings. But it's just knowing that you're different. I always knew that I was different than my siblings. Always had like this mild, you know, always been mild and calm and just such a sensitive heart for people, a love for people, a love for kids. Always had that. So I've always been different. But just knowing that with a different father, it was just a lot. It was a lot. And then coming from a small neighborhood, you know, you will have people come up to you as you're a child and be like, "Well, you know, such and such is not your dad. That's not your father." And I'm like,
"Really?
Okay, I knew that."
Really?
Okay.
They would come up on you. Oh, they would come up on you and say that?
People,
I mean, damn. I mean,
yes,
are you serious? I mean, hold up. How do you dealt with that growing up? I mean, I know you want to smack the hell out of somebody, but damn.
Oh, yes. But and believe it or not, I was a child, only like 13, 14 years old, and people will come up to me and be like, "Well, you know that's not your dad. You know you have a different dad." And even like family members on that side will be like, "You got the last name York, but you're really not a York. You know that's not your dad." Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Now, besides being 13, want to smack the hell and kick people. I know, you know, you probably, you know, you sound like you was raised well, and I get it, I understand. But, you know, who was it? Just people in the neighborhood? Yeah. Was it also a combination of family members doing that as well?
Oh, it was a combination of both family members and just people in general. But the thing about it is that they wasn't telling me anything that surprises me because my mom always told me that, you know. And believe it or not,
right.
My dad and my stepdad were more like brothers. They knew each other. You know, it wasn't any kind of animosity. Yes, it wasn't no, you know, beef between the two of them or anything like that. You know, they all respected each other. They respected my mom, my dad. My dad took my mom, you know, with four other kids. So before I came into the picture, he was with my mom a couple of years. And then, you know, my mom got pregnant with me. So the love was there. It just wasn't like nothing in and out kind of thing. But it was never like a, like I said, animosity or fighting or anything like that. We were like a family.
So you mean tell me there was no furniture moving? You mean tell me your dad's and your stepdad and your dad, there was no furniture moving? There was no damn this. Yo, hold up. Wait a minute. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's that New York Jersey in me. I don't know. We you know, like to clear some furniture, but nah, I got some people in Louisiana who like to get it started too. So I'm just saying. But
funny.
You know, that's
funny.
Testimony. That's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard
that's
in the past that they may have had a couple of words. They have had, you know, words with each other. But as far as me seeing it, I never saw that. You know, when I saw that, you know, it used to be times when I was a little girl and I would say dad. And they would be around each other and I would say dad and they would both look at me. I thought it was so funny, you know.
No,
I'm not making light of it.
It just sounds, just looks funny. A little to see. Hey, dad. And he's like, "Oh, what?"
they both
turn around.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's one of the chapters in my book that I love to reflect on. And there's a lot of abuse that I went through at a young age with my high school boyfriend. I was raped by him also. So the book talks a lot about being physically abused, went from being raped by my high school boyfriend into a marriage. And then my marriage, it wasn't more of a physical abuse. It was more of a mental abuse. So the book itself is just really like the beginning from finding God through different adversities and then finding God again.
Right.
It's an awesome book.
So, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, besides your father's, you know, your two dads, I'm going to say two dads because it takes a village to raise our children. So kudos to both of those men for stepping up and being being positive role models, you know, and keeping that drama away from you, even though they probably was moving some furniture outside of your visuals. But you know, but I respect the fact that your mom kept it honest with you about that, you know. And I guess I got to say that it is really something. I mean, when you have a mixed family, you know, regardless you have the same mom or different dads or whatever the dynamics of family, I guess the black sheep, label could be psychologically a hit for a young person.
Yes.
I think that's an awesome topic that you can definitely bring back, because I'm pretty sure you have a lot of listeners who's dealing with blended families, those who feel like black sheep. I mean, it's you know, my family, my stepson, he and my son, you know, it's a blended family. But you know what? Mm-hmm. It's still that stigma, you know, feeling like an outsider. Even though you're doing everything possible, you still feel like an outsider. It's not something that, you know, someone's doing wrong. And the parents, you know, whoever the child or whoever side that has the custodial aspect of the child, that child still feels that stigma because they feel like they're still missing something. It doesn't feel normal to them. So, and I think that, you know, I think that's a strong topic you need to definitely have. I think that that's, you know, coming back, you know, when we get full kicking off with your show, I mean, this is one of them, but that black sheep blended family is an excellent topic. So I definitely think that you definitely should run with that, because as I'm listening to you, I'm like, you know, man, I never thought about it like that. You know, how does it really affect a young person growing up? Even as you're an adult, you know?
It does. It really does. And I promise you, like I said, at first, my sister, she was kind of sensitive. And I just wanted to make her, assure her that it wasn't you all. You know, everyone loved me and my mom, and I had my two dads there, but you still have this emptiness inside of you. I mean, for myself, I can't speak for everyone. I'm just speaking for myself, per se. You know, it's like, I'm still different, you know, and to this day, and I'm 40 years old, and I still feel the same way. And again, it's not on nothing that they have done. It's just what I've been through, and now even the relationship that I am in with my husband now. I've been married before. I had two kids outside, you know, I mean, I have two kids before I got married a second time, and we have a daughter together. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, my kids, I don't want them to feel the same thing as I was feeling. You know, it's like a cycle. I'm like, oh, God.
But you know what? But you know, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, I know you don't want them, but maybe it's no matter what you say, they still gonna feel that stigma. I mean, and they may still feel it. I mean, you're doing everything in your power to try to make them not feel alienated, if I'm saying the word correct. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, I guess because from your experience and, you know, it's just still, it's like, okay, it doesn't feel like whole. It's mixed family. It's not, you know, and maybe it's just something, I guess, I would say the reality of addressing it and the reality of talking about it helps, because I think if your mom didn't talk about it, and I think if your father, your biological father and your stepfather did not act and work as a team and as brothers and family, everybody worked as a family, I think it would have been worse. I really, honest to God, think it would have been worse. And I think that move, and I think a lot of people that's listening to the show, those within mixed families or may have that feeling, you know, you can't take the stigma away. It is what it is. Life was what his life is. But I think that open conversation about dealing with it and say, hey, look, you know, you're loved. I think that goes far. I think it really goes far. And if you sharing that story and your experience and how you got through it, or let me ask you a better question. Even though you still, do you still feel like a black sheep in your family at times?
I still do. Yes, I still do. At 40 years old, I still do.
Okay. At 40 years old. Do you feel that do you think you'll ever feel at some point that you would, that stigma, you would shake it? Or is it just something that you just have to deal with at this point?
I think this is something that I would just have to deal with. But again, I'm just thankful that it's not nothing in a negative light. It's it's not, you know, anything that would make me feel out of place. I think it's a good black sheep, the way I feel. I feel like I am the black sheep of the
right.
family, but it's in a positive way, you know. It's but just growing up and into adulthood is something that would never change. Never.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's definitely a good thought and a good perspective in how to deal with it. Now, I mean, now we're going to swing to this. You know, we talked about the black sheep. We're going to talk about some more positive stuff. What? Now, let's let the listeners know a little bit about Toshiba. I mean, besides being an author, what else can the listeners, people expect from Toshiba?
I'm also an entrepreneur. I have a dance studio.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, I have a dance studio. In November. I'm sorry.
Is it for grown-ups, kids? Is it for grown-ups, kids, adults, or kids?
No, it's just
what?
For kids for now. It's for ages.
You said dance studio. I didn't know what type of dance studio you had. You know, you talking about God? I'm like, okay, what type of dance studio she got going on? Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
I have a dance. Studio. I'm going on 5 years. In November of this year, it'll be 5 years. So I just love people and kids. So I love just being around people and kids. I'm also a travel agent, so I do a lot. I have my hands in a lot dealing with people, but I love every minute of it. Love it.
Okay. So, I mean, for those listening to the show, I mean, well, first of all, where are you out of? I mean, there's a lot of people listening, you know, to the show. They're from all over. And the podcast network and community is national and global. So tell everybody where you're from, and you know, so they can kind of get an idea where you're from and you know what you're about.
Okay, I'm originally from a little town called St. Gabriel, Louisiana, but I live in Gonzales, and Gonzales is about 45 minutes from New Orleans. So everyone know about where New Orleans is at. So I'm about 45 minutes to an hour outside of New Orleans.
Okay, okay. Now, what about the dance studio? I mean, I'm pretty sure you're gonna have some listeners who have children that may be interested in the dance studio. I mean, do you have a location where the studio is located? They can contact you. I mean, we know about the author, but we got to push the business now. We got to push the business.
Definitely, yes. I'm located in Gonzales, Louisiana. We offer jazz, lyrical, ballet, hip hop, and tap. I also have a competition team, and we travel a lot. So we have been as far as Washington D.C. for nationals. We've been to Florida, Atlanta. We went to Atlanta, Georgia, and more. So we are always traveling, just giving the kids something positive to do in the community. I'm also in the process of doing a nonprofit organization. I'm waiting for everything to clear with that. But my nonprofit organization would be really for single parents, for kids that come out of single parents' home. And my organization would pay for kids to do extracurriculum like volleyball, football, dance, karate. It don't have to just be dancing. Whatever that child would like to do, my organization will pay for that child in a low-income-based home to do whatever it is that they would like to do.
Oh, wow. I mean, wow. Now, in the community. Now, the community that you're serving, the community that you look to serve with the upcoming nonprofit and the dance, what community are we talking about?
All nationalities. We do, we just want to base myself on parents with low income families. That's what I'm really would like to help, being that I come from a single parent home myself. So if you know, single parents is one of the my heart really, you know, goes out to them, knowing that I come from that, and I want to help anyone, you know, that's coming from that type of environment to help them dream. Because you know they have kids that do volleyball, basketball, football, and it can very well take them places, but their parents can't afford it. They don't have the funds to do it. So my organization would definitely be there to help them, to help make
I think that's a great a great motive and a great business that you're getting into. I definitely believe that you have a platform here with your show, along with your book, because you can also have that, you know, what you're doing, and use it as a platform and also another way of marketing the business. I mean, I'm a strong advocate of, if you're doing positive things, you have a platform, use it. Let's use it wisely.
Yep.
And, you know, and have these people, like you said, you have these guests coming on talking about their businesses, and, you know, and maybe,
yeah,
you know, have a show maybe around Mother's Day talking to those single mothers. Just having,
yeah,
that woman chat, you know, the woman just say, look, you know, girl, you know, just let's talk about what, you know, some of the challenges of being a single mother, you know. And sometimes, mm-hmm, you guys, you know, I've heard some, and there's some awesome, awesome mothers out here, you know, single, not,
yeah,
single, married. We have some awesome mothers. Then we got some mothers, and I mean some real mothers. I mean some mothers that I'm going to add other words too, but I'm sorry.
Yes,
I didn't
yes,
want to
yes,
say
yes,
that, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
we got some special mothers. Mother effers. We got some special ones. The ones who totally be forgetting about the damn kids. I mean, if you,
yes,
want to carry the child, finish the job.
It ain't a
drive through. You know, make an order and drop it off. I mean, come on, damn. I mean, really?
Yes.
But,
mm-hmm. I see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to pay the bills. The bill as far as your child coming to dance, but they're gonna post on social media at this club, they're at that club. They're like,
That's right. Okay, wait a minute. You know, and we're gonna talk about, you know, you're gonna have to add it to another show. You know, got the good moms, and I think it's okay to talk about the bad moms. Yes, it's okay.
Yes,
you know,
is.
the bad dads get it all the time. Damn it! I want to hear a show about the bad moms, because you got some out here, and you know what? I don't know about your region. I'm starting to see a lot of men step up as fathers. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I think times are changing. The perception is changing. Maybe because they've seen their mothers struggle. Maybe because they've seen their mothers go through so much, and they don't want that for their child or their children or their family. I've been seeing a lot of men step up, and then every man that I've spoken to says, you know what, my mom was a single mom. That's why,
yeah,
I have to step up. That is just phenomenal when I see that, and when I hear they're motivated by strong women, that just says, hey, look, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we got some awesome people out here. We just got to get our shit together. I'm sorry, I dropped the S-bomb. I'm sorry. We just got to get it together. We got to get together as a community and understand, hey, look, we all have some of the same problems, whether it's different regions. We just have to come together as a community and work to help build our families together, support our communities, you know, stop, you know, this is just for me. I mean, you're motivating me, by the way. You're motivating me because what is happening is, you know, if we as people stop worrying about what another agency or other people are not doing for our community, where we can create our own network, our own, support system, we can be able to help each other out. You know, you have the nonprofit coming out. You have the supportive resource books along with this show that you have as a platform to be empowering. And we need to do that and utilize that. You, along with Rebirth Radio and other, you know, of course, you know, our other sister over there at Minnesota, Another Perspective. And there's so many great people I've ran into. You know, my partner, Diamond D, she has her Four Women by Women. You know, they have a bunch of coming together. There's a lot of awesome. I'm just surrounded by some awesome women, damn it. I don't know. I got to step my game up. I got to find new male friends. Some of them
yes,
trifling.
You and
I'm not joking. I got some good men. I'm
joking. Look. I got some good girls. And I was like, oh my God, that show was so awesome. You and Diamond, Miss Diamond D, I was like, I love it. The show was awesome.
But you know what? We are going to do, we're going to invite you on the show to talk about your book. We're going to talk about your show, you know, so we're going to make sure we get you involved with that, because right now we're going to make sure we're going to uplift what you got going on, along with Simone and, of course, Miss Lucy Bones, you know. And, you know, I got my man Aaron, you know, you're going to talk about the politics. I can't do the politics, you know, but we're all one good family, you know, so, you know, because that person, you know, I know you got some people that's rooting for them. You got some people like, eh.
Right.
You know, you just got to look at the, you gotta look at the facts. Mm-hmm. I tell people, look at the facts. Look at the facts.
That's right.
It's another, look at the facts. Yeah. But getting back to you, now what is your family? How does your family feel? I mean, do you have support with your book and now the podcast? How is your family supportive, your husband and your family?
I do. Very supportive. My husband, I think he's the best thing since sliced bread, I tell you.
Okay. Hey, sliced bread. Hey, sexy chocolate.
Yes.
Why your co-host is coming at me like that? No, just plain, brother. Just plain.
Yes. Just plain. I've really been blessed, I'm telling you. When I went through my first marriage, and it's just like I said, it just didn't work out, but I prayed. I was like, Lord, you're going to have to send me the next guy because I can't just jump into anything. We were together 8 years before we even got married. So,
You made him work. You made him work.
Yeah, we both
work. You made him put in work.
Yeah,
you made my man put in work. 8 years.
Eight years.
Y'all hear this? My fellas who listen to the show, y'all hear this?
Woo!
Yeah, 8 years.
So
let me ask you, in your husband's defense, was it worth it? Was it worth it, him waiting 8 years? All right,
yeah,
awesome. I salute my man. I salute him. You got a great support system, brother. great support.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love to hear when you have the family dynamic supporting you in what you're doing, because that's important. That's important. Anything that you're
really
doing in life, it's very important. The kids and the husband, the wife, just family, that means a lot, because ain't nothing worse than feeling lonely. Ain't nothing worse than feeling lonely and trying to do something that you really love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, that person
should
be dreaming down.
Yeah,
okay.
It's never a dull moment. He's the king of the castle. He's the king of the castle. So.
Yeah. Oh, they love me, Teddy. Okay.
Yeah.
That is. Well, we're gonna make sure that your show succeeds. We're gonna make sure that your daughters can have a reference point. Like, I'm proud of my mom. We're gonna give her something to be proud about. Because I as I listen to you, Sheba, I believe and I know that your show is gonna be empowering. It's gonna be a platform for giving people shared experiences, because I've said always to believe and said before, your experiences is your testimony. That's how
yes,
I look at life. It's a testimony. Every experience is a testimony. Same way for it goes for the Bible, the Torah, the Quran. Those are written down experiences, became testimonies.
Yes.
It came down into the Bible. I mean, I may not word for word, but I do know, a true man, with a good heart will see God. So that's what I strongly believe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still working on me. He's still working on me. I got issues. God knows. I got issues.
We all
got issues. You got issues. Oh, my God, I got issues.
Okay.
That's another story.
I'm not posted. I promise you. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and me and this lady had a little altercation. She want to pull. She was pulling in front of me, so I blow up my horn. I'm like, don't you see me? You see me here. Like, you're not going to cut in front of me. And one of the ladies was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that you actually said that. I was like, I'm human. I'll cut somebody out, too. If, you get me there, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. But, yeah, I'm human. I'm not holding it down, but I'm not perfect. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm.
So, all right, now, we talked about your book. We talked about the platform, what you want to do with the show. We talked about family. We talked about your husband waiting 8 years. We talked about that. Now, what can the people expect for the future? What is some of the future moves you're looking to do within 2020? Because I know everything is not, it's going to happen overnight. But what is one of the small steps you want to see first for you as an author? Then I'm going to ask you for as a show podcast host. And maybe career-wise or business-wise, let's go first talk about the author. Is anything in the future for you? Any books? Any other future books coming out?
Yes, I'm in the process now of writing my second book.
Oh, newsflash!
Yes,
everybody, you heard
that,
right? She said it first. She said it first.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes,
congratulations.
Yes, I should be out by the summertime of 2020. So I'm working on that. I just can't just sit down and write. I have to pray first, you know, and then God, you know, calm me down, and then I can, you know, I can write for 2-3 days. But it's a process. And when you're writing, when you're writing a nonfiction book, it's a true story. So you kind of sit heavy, you know, on your heart. I got to pray about that before I start writing.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm gonna definitely need to pick your brain because that's one of my to-do lists and things I want to, you know, do as well. But my book's gonna be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got some stories, but
Oh
Jesus.
Yes.
Get the holy water. This book is burning. Woo! Oh Lord, he didn't come across like that. Did he do that? Wait a minute. Is that a movie? He has video out on that? Yes, yes. I got some stories. Make you red. Oh Lord Jesus. But we're gonna talk behind the scenes on that. I'm gonna need your guidance on that one. Now, with the show you have, what do you want to see for the show going forward in the future?
For the show in the future, I want people to listen to the show and just receive positive opinions. Just listen to the different, I guess, the different relationships, the different things that we all have been able to overcome in life. I also have a book club, so I would sometimes bring different members of my book club. The name of my book club is called Conversations with Champions. So we'll be bringing some of the champions in. They can talk to you all about how they have overcome different adversities in life and different obstacles. So as far as for the show itself, I just want people to be able to listen in and they can relate to what it is that's going on. Mm. About that topic.
Mm. Excellent,
yes.
Excellent. Now, what about business-wise? I mean, what is anything personal thing for Tashiva that you want to do just personally? Everybody has these New Year's resolutions, but is there anything that you kind of see for yourself? I mean, right now you got a lot of stuff going on, but is there anything personally you want to do for yourself, maybe mentally, physically, or spiritually? You want to see yourself in another place that you can probably inspire somebody else?
Yes, I just want to be better than I was yesterday. I'm not in competition. I'm not in competition with no one but myself. That's who I'm in competition with, and I want to be a better Tashiva on tomorrow, which is Tuesday, than what I am today.
Great show. Let me ask you: is there any last words or any words of empowerment or any uplifting words of that you can leave some of the listeners just to take with them a little? You know, feed them a little something. Any last word for the show?
Yeah, I just want, my motto is, if I help one person, I've made a difference. That's my motto. So, and believe in yourself. No matter what anyone tells you, no matter what, you know, anyone's opinion about you, you have to believe in yourself. And always remember, God did not give other people your dreams, so they won't be able to see what you can see. Okay, I just want to, I would like to thank everyone for tuning in to Conversations with Champions. I really enjoyed the show. I would like to thank Mr. Nash for sitting in with us. I really appreciate it, Mr. Nash from Rebirth Radio and Shadow World. Thanks so much for sitting with me a few more times, you know, just to let you all get a feel of me and Mr. Nash together, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. Yes, it was an honor, definitely. It was a ball.
So
I had a ball.
Thanks,
but
and
thank
I just
you,
want
everybody.
Everyone to know. Yeah. just want everyone to know and remember one thing, that you are, I am, we are all champions.
Shadow World presents Rebirth Chronicles.
This is the State of the Union.
My name is Aron Johnson, and my show is State of the Union. We will discuss politics, things that affect us as a nation. Not only nationally, but also globally. Things that affect us as a nation, our families and our children.
This is the State of the Union.
Welcome to State of the Union, presented by Rebirth Magazine. I'm your host, Aron Johnson. Here, we're going to talk about politics. But it's bigger than just politics, let's be honest. We've got a lot going on in the world today, and it's about time that someone, matter of fact, most of us, start to take a stand against this foolishness, and that's what it is. In my personal opinion, that's what I call it, foolishness. We got a lot going on in the White House. I'm just going to call it out, straight shooter. I don't play games. I'm not going to beat around the bush, not going to water it down. I'm here to enlighten you. I'm here to inform everyone, to help open your eyes to what's really going on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't get into that, but let's straight deal with the facts. We've got a lot, too much confusion going on in the Capitol. There's a lot of issues going on in our local communities, and also a presence of division that's seeming to separate America. It's beyond racism now. We've got gender inequality and all kinds of other things going on. We've got people fighting and killing, actually, for their religious freedoms. Now, that doesn't make any sense. It's about God or your higher power or whoever you choose to worship. Where does violence come in? Where does killing come in? It's rapid. But let's get down to the nitty gritty. The first thing that's on everyone's mind right now is the impeachment. President Donald Trump. That's hard to believe. I never thought I'd see the day or hear those words come out of my mouth. But here we have it. He's been impeached. A lot of people are wondering what the impeachment actually means. But for right now, it seems like it means nothing. What it means, though, is that we found the president to be guilty of, obstructing justice, guilty of obstructing the governmental processes that were laid out in the Constitution. The impeachment is actually, it tarnishes his record. But unlike Bill Clinton, unlike Richard Nixon, he wasn't removed from office. I think I think the GOP, the Republican Party, just didn't have the balls to get him out. I think he has a sort of noose around their necks. They actually verbally threatened to have their heads on a pike. Come on, man. If he did get impeached, then why not? What power does he hold in? Come on. That's witness intimidation. That's a whole other issue. We can talk about that in another show. But there are many, many issues ahead. Border control. As far as I learned when I was growing up, this was the land of the free, the home of the brave. If it's the land of the free, if no particular person or no group of people own the land that God created, how can we tell other people, hey, you can't come here? This country was formed and built. This country was built by immigrants. The land was stolen from the Native Americans. But now we have a president that wants to build a wall to keep out a certain nationality of people. Just the wall along the southern border of Mexico. Why Mexico? However, during these immigration proceedings, it was discovered that the same president, Donald Trump, has had many illegal immigrants on temporary visas, temporary work visas, that have actually expired but were still working for his company. Hey, that's kind of underhanded to me. But we're also dealing with a president that has a current standing of over 500 legal cases, active legal cases. It was over 3,000 when he was elected. That's a fact. Then we get to this business of China. Besides the coronavirus, that's again a whole other issue. But the dealings with the nuclear deal, and Kim Jong-un, we don't know where that's going. At one point, they seem to be on good terms. Then in the next moment, our president, some people say he's not their president, so your president, somebody's president. I don't personally find anything presidential about him. To me, he's just a bully. I'm trying to stay away from my personal opinion, but I have to let you know where I stand so we can get on the same page and get some understanding. But back to this nuclear thing. One minute, it seems like everything's cool, or they're working toward an agreement. And the next, you get a Twitter tirade from the president. Then we go on to Russia. Vladimir Putin has his hand all in American politics. We've discovered this from the 2016 election, and now it's evident and clearly evident, as stated by the Department of Homeland Security and our U.S. Department. They've clearly stated that Russia will interfere in the 2020 election process. It's inevitable. They're trying to find ways to stop it. Now, if they interfered in 2016 to get Trump elected, don't you think their aim in 2020 is to keep him in office? People, we've got to get out there and vote. Even by the numbers, in 2016, Hillary Clinton won the election by over 2 million votes, the popular election, the popular vote, our vote. However, the Electoral College, which is another sham, if you ask me, elected to put Donald Trump in office. I don't know how that was even possible, but again, it's the electoral votes that place the president in the office and declare who the winner is. In 2020, we've got to do something different. Everyone's vote counts. Everybody. It's not about your demographics. It's not about race. It's not about any of that. It's not about the 1%. It's not about the socioeconomic statuses of everyone. What we're trying to do, or what the Constitution was set to do, is to give everyone equal opportunity, is to treat each of our citizens fairly. Right now, you look at these tax breaks that have been instituted by our current president, and they're for the wealthy. The middle class and those that are already living below the poverty level are getting taxed even more, while the wealthy, the billionaires, the 1%, get tax breaks. Why? That's unimaginable. I'm like Warren Buffett on that one. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, in America, he said he doesn't mind. He thinks the wealthy should be taxed. He said if it were up to him, he could solve this nation's tax debt, period, by himself. But our president wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't allow that to happen. It's crazy. We're talking about a man who gave the Medal of Honor to a dog. He literally gave the Medal of Honor to a dog. I'll just leave that there. Let y'all think about that. We go to, right now we're dealing with a situation with Nancy Pelosi, who he's always calling out, the Democratic leader, House Democratic leader. So Nancy Pelosi is attempting to do her job. And she's calling out all these faults and all these wrongs that President Trump has done. Every time, every red flag that gets lifted up, every time he goes against the Constitution, every time he abuses his power, every time he threatens witnesses, every time he fires witnesses, every time he tries to invoke presidential immunity to keep others from testifying against him, White House aide has been allowed to publicly testify during these proceedings or any other matter dealing with the Trump administration. It's crazy. You think back to last year when his lawyer, Michael Cohen, when he testified, this man laid out so much information toward the bribes and the cover-ups that the president was trying to do with the women that he slept with the porn star, Stormy Daniels. they showed documents, I mean, checks signed by Donald Trump to this woman, hush money. But we keep him in office. We're talking about a man who we've listened to his voice talking about grabbing women by the vagina. Are you serious? But he sits in office. This is what we have running our country today. Another person in one of his cabinet members, one of his supporters, one of his right-hand men, Roger Stone, he was just released. The charges against him dismissed because the state attorney general, or I'm sorry, the nation's attorney general, William Barr, intervened in the case. Why? It's all kinds of things, all kinds of issues going on with this president that are just horrible. I can't even think of another word to describe it. Colonel Vindman and his twin brother, they testified, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman testified against Trump in these impeachment hearings. The man was ousted. He was fired. 2 days ago, he was escorted out of the White House. Why? Simply because he testified against Trump. That's not fair. That's retaliation. And now the Department of Justice is launching an inquiry, or they want to launch an investigation into that. We live in a country today where I don't even call it the United States. It's right now it's the divided states of America. This man supports white nationalists, white supremacists. He's degrading and derogatory toward everyone he can seemingly imagine to be. Anyone that challenges him. It's terrible. But again, this is the type of president that we have. What I want to do, I want to talk to people. I want to get people on this show that have something to say. I want to get people on this show that are looking at everything that's going on, that are feeling the effects of it or seeing the effects of it, like the middle class. The blue-collar workers, people that feel oppressed. I want to talk to professionals, too, those in higher tax brackets. I want to talk to the Trump supporters because I want to know where y'all head at, for real. Where? It really makes no sense. I want to talk to those involved in politics. I want to ask you questions like, how come there are so many homeless people? And speaking of the homeless people, I want to talk to the people that help them, the people that volunteer, the people that work in these shelters that are not funded by the state or local government. Why? It's crazy. But these are the things I want to do on this show because I really want to know where we're headed as a country. To me, it's getting worse by the day. This is a man that wants to cut Medicare. He wants to make cuts to both of those. That's our health care. We're talking about a man who I've yet to see speak anything about education. What is he doing with education? What are our children going to learn? How to grow up and be bullies? That's their example. I want to talk to the people that are sitting right there on the front lines. I want to talk to the soldiers. The soldiers. We have soldiers in Afghanistan. There was a rocket blast. They were hit by rockets. The president came. The president got on national TV and said there were no injuries at all. 2 days later, we find out that, what was the first report? 39 soldiers had head injuries. Head injuries. The president came back on. He said he wasn't aware of that at first. But, oh, I'm sorry, 39 soldiers had traumatic head injuries. Let me put that right. That was the report. He said he wasn't aware of that and that he didn't find it to be that serious. You have soldiers that have been bombed. They have traumatic head injuries. He said it's nothing serious. All right, that, again, nonsense. But this is a man that we support, or somebody supports, because I surely don't. I've heard some people say, I heard a couple of people say that he's done a lot for the church. He's the only president that has done so much for the church. I don't know what he's done for the church. I don't know what, I really don't. I do know that he attacked the Christian Post, one of the largest Christian magazines in the nation. I knew that he came out and attacked them because they were against some of his policies. That doesn't sound like a man that's for the church or doing something for the church. That sounds like a man that's about his own agenda. But again, that's what we have in government. That's what we have in leadership. It amazes me that there's so much going on and people seemingly have no clue. And some people just don't care. I can't understand where their heads are either, because it's as if they don't feel affected by it, or as if it doesn't affect them. It affects us all in different ways, but it does. Our children have to grow up. Our seniors have to get adequate health care. Our children have to get good educations if they want to do anything to sustain a healthy lifestyle, to grow up and be on, get on their own and be independent. Our business owners, their businesses have to thrive in order for them to sustain that. But yet, if they don't meet a certain income level, they're taxed. They're taxed, but yet the billion-dollar corporations are not. Let's talk about the opioid crisis. It's even bigger. It's growing day by day. More and more, we're seeing entertainers, normal everyday people. They're coming out and saying, "Yeah, I'm struggling with this." But what happens with the pharmaceutical companies? Apparently, or allegedly, the president has launched a campaign to stop or to try to halt or stop this opioid crisis. Yet, what are we seeing? What is the effect of it? Drug prices aren't going down. They're constantly climbing. But yet, they're more populous on the street. We find more people getting addicted. So whatever he's done, it's not helping. There are things that we have to do as individuals in order to help ourselves and in order to help our communities, in order to help our local neighborhoods, in order to help one another. And that's to get serious about living. That's to get serious about talking to our local leaders in our communities, our representatives, our councilmen, councilwomen, our state representatives. I urge you, contact them. Voice your opinion. If we shake up America, if we shake up our community, we can shake up the state. If we shake up the state, we can shake up the nation. If we shake up the nation, we can shake up the world. All it takes is a couple of people to get serious and to get to voice their opinions and how they're fed up with the foolishness. Right now, I mean, look, we're looking at these Democratic debates. We had more people running on a Democratic ticket for this upcoming election than ever before. Now we're down to five or six. Everyone thought that Joe Biden was going to be the leader of the Democratic ticket, out of all the Democratic candidates. But after the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries, we find it's Bernie Sanders. Pete Buttigieg is running a close second, followed by Amy Klobuchar, and at the bottom of the list, we find Joe Biden. It's amazing. He was a strong front runner. I don't mean to overlook, oh my God, can't call this woman's name. I don't mean to overlook anyone, but we're looking at the standings, and we're looking at what these people say. We're listening to them. And it's what they're saying. It's what they're expressing. Not only emotionally, but what legally stands and what doesn't. That's what gets our attention. That's what gets our ear. There's a quote that says, "If a man doesn't stand for something, he'll fall for anything." I'm saying we don't stand up.
Shadow World presents Rebirth Chronicles.